for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 3rd, 1994. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Monta is the speaker of the morning.
Okay. How many are here this morning? Just wanted to see if you were listening. I'm so glad that there are a number of young people here. Do you know, the Spirit of the Lord has a way of speaking directly into their heart by His presence. And there are things going on inside of them that isn't at all apparent in their jiggles or whatever. I remember when I was about the age of this little guy right here, maybe this little gal, we had a visitor at our church named Hans Wallfogel. He was German, spoke with a thick, wonderful accent. Somehow, he got to the back of the church in his preaching. I was sitting there with my little songbook, going through songbooks like kids do. Sometimes I'd, you know, say the title and put under the bed after it, and I'd snicker a little bit. And I just kind of carrying on when suddenly I heard something. I heard this big German man thunder, "He, Christ, is the effulgence of the Godhead bodily. He is the outraying of the glory of God His Father." All I heard was effulgence. Now, I know that most of you don't have a real clear idea what effulgence means. And I was sitting there as a little kid thinking, effulgence. The way he said it made me want some effulgence. And I didn't know how. I didn't know where to go to get effulgence. I looked through my Bible. I had a little Bible. I couldn't find effulgence in the Bible. It wasn't certainly in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. I kept my eyes open. I didn't see it in a grocery store. He had made it clear that the effulgence meant the outraying of the glory of the Father through the Son. The expression. Well, I didn't know that. But there came a time when the elders of my church got mad at me and fired me. I went through all the guilt trips. I could have done better. I should have listened. I should have humbled myself. I should have. And I was in a funk. And God was taking the Roto-Rooter into my life. You know how He does that. You know, at times, go ahead and laugh, sister. At times He uses the Roto-Rooter. At times, like Bob Mumford said, He uses the bulldozer or the steamroller. And He isn't real careful. And He had the Roto-Rooter going. And into the corner of my heart, in all of my big pity party, He said, "And this process is the effulgence you wanted to know about My Son. The effulgence of My glory will transform you into the image of the Son by killing you." Lord said I could also. He said, "Be kind of careful. Don't let them hear the can opener." If you notice my hand, I have things written in my hand. Occasionally, the Lord will say something to me at a time in deep worship, and I know I'll forget it, so I write it down in my hand. And He said, "That's okay, because you can tell them that I inscribe their name in the palm of my hand. If they came up to me, I could just show them their name in my hand. Your name, your name, your name is written in the Father's hand." Well, I write things in my hand. Sometimes I'll write a name I really need to remember. I have a real hard time with Dorrance's name because I'm used to saying Lawrence, not Dorrance. And I don't have any trouble with Sarah, but I do with Dorrance. So I'll write that down somewhere. Now, He said, don't let them hear the can opener. That's kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? My daughter has two cats. One fat cat, one little kind of skinny cat. When she goes in the kitchen and she uses the can opener, those cats come from the farthest part of the house and they come tearing their little claws skidding on the linoleum. And then they sit there, blunk, waiting for whatever happens after she opens the can opener. She could be opening cyanide and they'd come running. Doesn't make any difference to them. They hear the can opener. And they are prompted to come and they'll eat anything that's put before them. God said, caution my people about the can opener problem, that there are many, many pastors meaning well who simply make the sound of a can opener like you're going to get something. Most of the time she's opening peas or split beans, you know, stuff that cats wouldn't touch no matter what. Once in a while it's tuna and they get to lick the can. But for that one lick, every 75 cans, they're in there waiting. Okay? The Spirit of God is letting you hear the opening of the book that you might enter in. The opening of the book that you might enter in. Do you want to enter in? Do you know what the cost of admission is? Oh, this is really fun. Okay.
Oh, yeah, this is fine.
Who likes to read over here? We got a good reader over here? Okay. Yeah. I do this to terrify and bother our video camera. Honey, I want you to stand right up here and read this in the green. Yeah.
And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
Okay, say it again, huh?
And the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
And the God of peace will soon do what?
Crush Satan.
He'll soon crush Satan. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Do you believe that? You could have read that too, couldn't you? Yeah. Well, if I have another real important verse, I'll have you read that. And the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Okay, I want you to take your feet and stomp them.
Amen.
I want you to get childlike in your treatment of Satan, because he takes everything literally. When you say, get out in the name of Jesus, do you know what happens? Yes, he does. But you have to say it out of your spirit, because your imagination will... That's right. All right. I keep thinking, if I move this up and down enough... All right. I messed it up. The Spirit said it would be well to deal with the problem of imagination before I get into the message. The message has to do with the priesthood of the believer. The message has to do with the garments of the priesthood. It has to do with the functions of the priesthood. It has to do with the anointing of the priesthood. Most of us don't really understand what it means to be a priest. The Lord says, what will happen is some will apply this understanding by their imagination to their soul rather than to their spirit. You need to understand that you have a carcass, a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. The spirit is eternal. It lives in this carcass. This is your Land Rover. This is your earth body. Paul says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out. He said, I didn't reference my spiritual experience by my earth carcass. Don't let your earth carcass dictate to you either your emotions, your appetites, or your sense of God. Now, let me give you an example. He gave me a real good example, and I forgot it. So I'll make up one. When the unsanctified imagination hears the call of God, immediately it says something like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If the imagination is set in the soul, that's in the mind, it'll take that as a doctrine. It'll blather it like a parrot. Polly wants a victory. Polly wants a victory. Polly can do all things through Christ who strengthens it. The soul does the thinking. The soul does the imagining. And therefore you think the imagination is bad. No! The imagination is the source of your behavior. The imagination is the source of the direction of your walk. God said of the people at the time of the flood, the imaginations of their heart were only evil continually. Your imagination produces the images that produce your life. And if your imagination is fed by media all the time, you'll get as smart as Dr. Quinn. And you'll get as righteous as little Christy, bless her heart. Your imagination has to be presented to the throne when it is properly seated in the Spirit. When you hear the call of God, immediately you will say, where is Calvary? What can I do to get rid of the body of this death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? That which I want to do, I don't. That which I don't want to do, I do. Your imagination says, don't sweat it. Just confess victory. Just confess victory. Paul says, don't fool yourself. The mind set on the flesh is death. The imagination set on the flesh will lead you down a garden path of error and deception. You don't want that. Be childlike, but be consistent in presenting yourselves as living sacrifices every day and say, Lord, take my imagination. Okay, now I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus, take my imagination, sanctify it, cleanse it, sever it from ancestral influences, sever it from media influences, cover it with the blood of Jesus. I receive this. Thank you, Jesus. Be very watchful for your imagination. It is trained from little children to daydream. It's trained to make believe. Do you know it's perfectly possible to make believe you're a Christian and be an absolute failure? I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about moving into Jesus Christ in the reality of a blood-covered experience. There's no other way. Now, God is doing something in this camp. This room is literally filled with angels. You know that, don't you? Do you know that there was a time when the presence of Jesus as a visitation swept through here when every angel prostrated himself? There was a time just one person, I felt like just flopping down, but I feel self-conscious thinking people will think I'm trying to act holy. So I didn't, but I felt like prostrating myself. One of the sisters up here actually knelt in the presence. Every angel in this room knelt or prostrated himself, herself, itself in the glory of the presence of Jesus. Jesus is here in a visitation of tremendous power. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that wasn't my first part. Well, this sort of it was. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 11. I want this to kind of sink into your spirit. After a teaching, if you can't do it, you haven't got it. All right? If the teaching is not given under the unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost, it means that you'll have it in your brain and in your mind so you can blather it as a doctrine, but you won't have it in your life so you can minister it as life to yourself and to others. Verse 11, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Paul speaking, he's writing actually. He says, I long to see you in order that I may do what? Impart some what? Spiritual gift to you that you may be established. I long to see you. I long in the Spirit to see you in your place. In the priesthood of the believer, you're placed in the body of Christ so I can impart a spiritual gift to you so you can be established. You know, Peter said, after we have suffered for a little while, he will strengthen and establish us. Being established means that the foundation stones of your life are being changed. And whenever you experience change, it comes across first as loss, sometimes as confusion, sometimes as just hopeless. What on earth are you doing, Lord? Do you ever feel like you couldn't figure it out? Yeah. You're supposed to feel that way. I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift. How do you impart? It takes someone like a little vessel like this to say, in the name of Jesus, I open the eyes of your understanding that you might know the hope of your calling, little one. You now are beginning to sense what the Lord is saying to you. I establish you in a new growing. You can touch the kids in your neighborhood and impart a spiritual gift to them so that they can begin to hear and begin to see and begin to know what God's saying. They have to have their little appetites whetted for the living word, not for Bible stories. Bible stories are good, but what they need is the living word. It's fine to tell them about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And it is true that these guys grew up and that around the campfire, the little Israelite kids ran and jumped on their laps and said, come on, Meshach, tell us again about the big dude that tried to throw you in the fire. Tell us how his whiskers melted and his eyes burned out and he died before he got there. Tell us again. Children need to know. They need to see in their mind's eye the beauty of those power stories. But they need to have imparted to them a spiritual gift that will allow them to translate that into integrity in their life, into thinking the kind of thoughts that lead them upward. Oh, the journey's a long journey. Aren't you glad you don't have to go through it again? Oh, and I had a good childhood. I had godly parents. No abuse in my family. The only abuse that I suffered was my dad was so righteous I couldn't stand it. He was such an overcomer, and I was such an undercomer. He was so holy. Well, I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. How many of you know that the Spirit Himself knows what gift you are in need of right now? Raise your hand. All right, close your eyes. Right now, the Spirit is imparting through me, through Glenn, through Dr. Bill, through all of the people here that have an apostolic mantle. The Spirit now is imparting the gift that you need to make your way through your life at this stage of your growth. In the name of Jesus, receive it. Oh, yes, say, I receive it. Now say, be it unto me, according to this word, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. All right, now turn with me to Luke 4:36. This is true, actually, of this meeting. It was true of last night. Oh, when the ministry of the word was going forth, I felt such a sense of awe. It says here, listen to what it says. And amazement came upon them all, and they began discussing with one another and saying, what is this? What? Message. What is this message? What is this message? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits. And what happens? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. If the message is going forth, the demons are coming out. And your spirit right now is saying, show me the way to Calvary. Your spirit is not asking for, how do you cast out demons? Your spirit is asking, how do you die to self so you can get out of the way and let Jesus do it? Yeah. Oh, there is such a desire in people to become ministers. Oh, the Lord loves you, people. The Lord now is putting into your spirit an understanding about ministry. 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 This is a governmental term. This means you've been assigned by the king to do a ministry on his behalf. You don't go out and minister on your behalf. All you do would be minister fungus or dandruff. You minister from the throne. One of our very dear friends, married a Japanese girl that spent a whole year in our home. He went to college, became really, really brilliant and bright, was just assigned as a minister to the embassy under Mondale in Japan. He is now a minister. You've heard the term cabinet minister. This means he has a specific assignment to do. If you are ministering, it means God has said, you have an assignment. He says, you, I want you to love your little buddies. I want you to teach some little kid how to play baseball. I want you to teach some little kid how to run as fast. I want you to teach someone how to spell. You minister out of the heart of God as representatives of a kingdom that will never pass away. This is a governmental responsibility. A governmental responsibility. All right. What is this message? Our message today is very simple. It's the living word imparted through the gifts of the Spirit, manifested by the fruit of the Spirit. The report about him, verse 37, was getting out into every locality, the surrounding district. He arose and left the synagogue, verse 39. Simon's mother-in-law, it's always kind of fun to read these little anecdotes. Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever. And they made request of him on her behalf, standing over her. What did he do to the fever? He rebuked it. Now, I know that the doctors, most of them, all except Bill here, wouldn't understand. If you went into a hospital room or into a sick room and said to a fever, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. But you try that. I charge you in the name of Jesus to begin believing this word. It will never work if you don't believe it. And it will never happen if you don't act on it. You believe it and you act on it. You see someone crippled up with arthritis, just going down the aisle of a grocery store, to say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that arthritis. Oh God, meet that lady's pain needs. You can minister love wherever you are. You don't have to go and convert her. Be helpful if you did. But that has to be led by the Holy Spirit, and the timing thing I don't understand, and neither do you. But there's no reason why you can't minister healing. Verse 40. While the sun was setting, all who had sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. The message and the laying on of hands and the casting out of devils go together. You know that, don't you? The message is not word. It's not blathering. It's not blathering. Paul said, I want you to pray for me that God will grant me utterance. Pray that God will grant me utterance. I want you to say, grant me utterance, Lord. How many of you want utterance? Some time ago, I was seeking God, and I said, oh, God, I'm going to have the people pray for me that you would grant me utterance. He said, you know what you just said? I said, yeah. I'm going to have them pray for me that you would grant me utterance. He says, no, you didn't say that. You said, I'm going to have them pray for me so that I'll speak eloquently, so that I'll give a really, oh, wow, wasn't that good message? He said, that's not utterance. In your case, it's not even eloquence. Sometimes it's loudness. He says, look up utterance. Get your Strong's out and look it up. I did. You know what I discovered? That the Strong's number for utterance is 3056. Do you know what 3056 is? The word is logos. The thought, the underlying total thought of God as it moves out in its function. Pray that I might have the mind of God in the stuff that I'm saying and thinking and permitting my mind to think. The stuff that I'm permitting my mind to hear, which I think are thoughts. Oh, God, grant us the Logos in operation. The Logos is the thought and mind of God when he says a specific thing, like, I am releasing a new word in someone. That becomes the Rhema word. That's when God is saying a special thing to someone. And even while I'm talking to you, he is giving a Rhema word out of the Logos to you. Now, in the beginning was the
Word.
That is the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. You look it up. God grant me that beginning word which will be born in me and make me into the Christ vessel that I'm appointed to be.
Hallelujah.
And don't you think that can happen without the steamroller, without the Roto-Rooter, without all of the things that go to bringing you down, bringing me down? Sometimes it scares me to even ask about these things. I'm going to tell you why it scares me. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Now, bear in mind, I'm still pointing out the processes by which priesthood becomes the fabric of what you are wearing as your clothing, as your spiritual garment. Psalm 105, verse 15 says, touch not what? My anointed ones. In other words, be careful of my priests, be careful of my kings. Anyone I have anointed, you be careful of, and don't mess with them. And that means everyone that has the anointing. That included Saul, when Saul was becoming horribly influenced by the witch of Endor, for instance. David could not touch him. And he said so. You be careful about how you talk. About televangelists, for instance. If they are under the anointing and you touch them in such a way as to pass a curse to them, that curse rebounds right onto you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help us to see the difficulty of the form of criticism we have sunk into. How easy it is to take someone that's been anointed, appointed president of the United States, whether he's apostate or not, whether he's retrobate or not, is not to question. God saw fit to allow him to become president, and your attitude toward him must be one of constant taking him to Calvary, taking him to Calvary, taking his actions to Calvary. Oh, be careful. Be careful what you communicate to your neighbors. Be careful what you communicate to your children by the careless words you speak. Touch not my anointed. Verse 19 is what I want you to hear. Until the time that his what? Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord did what?
Tested,
tried, refined, put him in the fire. Until his word. Who are we talking about here? Joseph. All right? But you can take Joseph's name out and put your name in here. And I challenge you, in fact, I instruct you now in the name of Jesus, to say, until my word comes to pass, the word of the Lord will test me, will refine me, will put me through the paces, will take me out of soul and put me into spirit. Until his word comes to pass in my life, I can say without any reservation, there's a word on you, just as clear as the word on this little lady. On these beautiful children. God has put his word in their life. It's written in there. They don't know it yet very clearly. Joseph didn't know it. Even when Joseph had the dreams. And he went to his dad and says, hey, Dad, I dreamed that the sun bowed to me. And the moon. And his father said, you mean I, the head of Israel, the son of Israel, will bow to you? Joseph didn't know what to say. And the moon. And his father said, you mean I, the head of Israel, the son of Israel, will bow to you? Joseph didn't know what to say. God had put a word in his life. He sends his word. He sends his word and he heals. He sends his word, he reveals. He sends his word and he acts out the divine prerogatives of his own mind. God does what he chooses. And he lets us be part of that. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Verse 24. Now here's something you can take just as a measuring device. And he caused his people to be what? Fruitful. He made them stronger than their adversaries. What is the Hebrew word for adversary? Who knows? I know Dr. Bill knows. The Hebrew word for adversary is Satan. That's just a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word for wisdom is Yoda. That usually affects somebody. The Hebrew word for seven is shebang. You've heard of the whole shebang. I mean, that's just the way it is. Kind of interesting. He made them stronger than their Satans. He made them stronger than their Satans. He made you stronger than Satan himself, and it's perfectly all right for you to say, get behind me, Satan. Furthermore, it's all right for you to point at one of your children and say, get behind me, Satan, when you see something happening in them that should not be happening. And you don't do it vitriolically with anger. You do it with a sense of love as deep and as sweet as Jesus when he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus wasn't saying, get behind me, you dirty bum. Oh, boy, you are a devil, you. Oh, no, no, no. He was looking into the mind of that man in such a way as to direct his flow of consciousness back into his spirit. It had only been just a few hours since he said, Jesus, thou art the Christ. Jesus said, oh, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father which is in heaven did. A little while later, Peter said, now, Lord, I'm not going to let you go to Jerusalem and suffer. Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but Satan did. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind in Hebrew means come into submission to me. The person who walked behind the person always did so in an air of submission. When you say, get behind me, Satan, you are saying, you will be submitted to me and to the word of Christ in me. Hallelujah. You will submit to me, Satan. Hallelujah. Every demon in hell has to submit to you. Oh, hallelujah. That's kind of exciting, isn't it? Yeah. Verse 39, 105. He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to illumine by night. A cloud for covering. The word cloud there is kanani in the Hebrew. It means covering. It's the same word used in the very first references to cloud. When God said to Moses, well, let's look at that. 19:6, Exodus 19:6. I like your responsiveness. I like it when you speak out when I pause for a word. You shall be to me a what? A kingdom of what? Priests. What kind of a nation? Don't get that confused with the concept of socially accepted behavior. A holy nation does have socially accepted behavior, obviously. But the word holy designates a place in the priesthood. There were a lot of unholy priests who, in fact, were designated holy and wore the holy garments. Eli's sons were holy. Holiness is a very important concept. You wear holy garments. You've been clothed with Christ. All right. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Moses spoke those words after he had said the most outrageous words you could imagine to the children of Israel. Look at verse 4. And listen. Here's 3 or 4 million people sitting around, angry, thirsty, hot, mad. And here's what Moses had to tell them. You yourselves have seen what I, Jehovah, did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you as on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Any of you getting an eagle wing ride? Doesn't feel like an eagle wing ride. Do you know that they looked right at Moses and said, this guy's out of his mind. And yet, I can tell you that they understood well enough so that years later, Isaiah could say, hey, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Say, Father God, give me eagle wing consciousness. In the spirit. Protected by the blood. In Jesus' name. Now the imagination wants to take that kind of thing and try and make your Christian walk into a, you know, tiptoeing through the tulip kind of thing. No, no, God doesn't want that. Your walk will be very much like, at times, the poor Israelites who walked day after day, hour after hour, not figuring out what on earth Moses was doing. They knew that a caravan could go from Egypt to Palestine in 3 weeks at the most. After 4 or 5 years, you get a little disillusioned about leadership. And here Moses is standing saying, tell them I bore them on eagle's wings and brought them to myself. Eagle wing experience is designed to do one thing, and that's to bring you into the heart of God. To bring you to where you recognize God. Recognize God in your life and in the whole process. And after he has said that, he says, now then, here are the conditions to eagle wing stuff. Verse 5. If you will indeed do what? Obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession. Keep, you have to hear the, obey the voice, keep the covenant. When Jesus said, this cup of my blood is the new covenant, Jesus was talking about working out the details that every Christian has to follow, like it or lump it. If any man will follow me, he will deny himself. He will deny himself. He will take up his cross. He will follow. He will take up his cross. He will follow. Where is Calvary for me, Lord? What does it mean? How do I get out from under the imagination of my heart? How do I get out from under the religious tattletelling of my soul process? The spiritual gifts being imparted will help you with that. Then after he has said, you'll be my own possession, I won't have time this morning, but later on when I'm talking to you about it was for Liberty Christ and Set Us Free, I'll take you into the place in Peter where he talks about us being his own possession, that royal priesthood, that royal nation. He says, now, you will be my own possession. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the sons of Israel. Verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud. I can give you 6 or 7 instances where the Lord actually came in the cloud. When Moses finished the tabernacle, it was said, he said, it's finished. The tabernacle was finished. It did the last thing. It says, then the thick cloud came, filled the tabernacle, so the priests couldn't even minister. The cloud of glory ministered when Solomon finished the temple. 120 priests were there praising God and ministering. Solomon said, it's done, it's finished. It says, and the cloud came and filled the temple with the glory so that no one could minister. They stood in awe and wonder. The day of Pentecost, when Jesus finished his temple, the cloud came and filled it with his glory. Where that temple? Where's the cloud? Are we aware of the cloud? Only a little bit. Lake Hamilton people are very, very blessed because they get to see the cloud more often than most people. It's not that hot. I'm just to make you feel sorry for me. Glory. I will come to you in a cloud. Now, what's the cost? And with this, I'm going to close. Turn with me to Exodus 33. If you were here Labor Day, this will be just a little review. The real precious review. Exodus 33, verse 9. It came about whenever Moses entered the tent. The pillar of what? The cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent. The Lord would speak with Moses. Whenever the pillar of cloud came, the people knew they were going to be moving. There was coming a change in their lives when the cloud came. Came about whenever he entered the tent, the pillar came. Verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, Thou didst say to me, Bring up this people, but thou thyself hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Moreover, thou hast said, I have known you by name, Moses, and you have found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me know thy ways, that I may know thee. Do you want to know the ways of God? How many of you want to know the ways of God? All right, say, Father God,
let me know your
ways,
so that I can please you,
in Jesus' name. God's answer to Moses, verse 14, he said to Moses, My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I will give you rest. Jesus says the same sort of thing. Moses says, If you don't go with me, forget it, God. I don't want to. And then Moses, as almost an afterthought, he says, Oh, God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Would all of you say that? Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
Now say it like you mean it.
Show me your glory.
All right, now here's what's going to happen. Verse 19, God speaking, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim my name, the name of the Lord Jehovah, before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. God says, when I say my name, I don't say Jehovah. I say into reality the substance of my name. When I pronounce my name to you as Jehovah Rapha, you are healed. When I pronounce my name as Jehovah Shalom, you are at rest and at peace. Whatever my name is, when I say it to you, you absorb that from me. Learn how to say the name. And until you do, it will make no sense for you to say in the name of Jesus. Because the name of Jesus is of the same order as the name of God. And when you say it and are in it, the thing you say happens. When you say it without being in it, you are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is not saying a cuss word. It's saying the name of Jesus as though you were in when you're not, when you're saying it out of your soul and out of your imagination instead of out of your spirit. The answer to that is a sanctified, consecrated imagination and soul. Oh, God, take authority over my mind. God, take authority over my imagination. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to get before God early in the morning? Are you willing to get before God as never before? All right, he's saying here now. Then the Lord says, verse 20, he says, You cannot see my face. No man can see me and live. Verse 21, then the Lord says, There's a place by me, and you shall stand there, where? On the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. I don't want you to be unaware, brethren, but the children of Israel were... Let me just read it. I was going to just quote it like I knew it, and I don't know it evidently. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's a place here by me on the rock. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the what?
Cloud.
They all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. You are baptized into Christ in the cloud. No cloud, no baptism. If you are baptized without the cloud, your soul picks it up and runs with it. But your spirit is not brought into absolute submission to the mind of God. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank what? The same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was
Christ.
Say it, that rock was Christ.
Christ.
That rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Paul is saying, when God Jehovah said, there's a place here by me and I will set you on the rock. He was saying, I will set you on Christ. I will hide you in the cleft of the rock. Oh, do you know why the wonderful old songster sang, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Rock of Ages, you cannot experience the glory of God without being inserted into that cleft of the rock. There is no experience more to be coveted than the cleft of the rock experience, because there you are covered with the hand of God. The lights go out. You are changed in the twinkling of an eye from a mortal thinking person to a person being changed in that cleft of the rock experience. Out of that comes the glory. Out of that comes the wonderful transforming power of Jesus Christ. But the cost, oh, the cost is awesome. Jesus paid that price, but it'll cost you everything. There's a place here by me, God is saying, and I'll set you on the rock, and he's done that. You're all on the rock. He says that I'm going to insert you in the cleft of the rock, and I'm going to cover you with my hand, and you, in the face of Christ, will see my glory. How Paul winds us up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let God deal with you now about that cleft of the rock. The cleft of the rock. Oh, hallelujah. Say, cleft of the rock.
Cleft of the rock.
Louder.
Cleft of the rock.
All right. Say,
Father,
hide me
in the cleft
of the rock.
My Lord Jesus Christ.
I give him everything.
I give him everything.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stand in his presence. Yield yourself to this cleft of the rock experience. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, open the eyes of your understanding. See, the cloud is coming. The cloud is moving. The cloud is moving. Hallelujah. Ora boshela boryande la rande rakaya. Oh, we sing to you, Father God, as priests being made. We are priests offering a sacrifice of worship to you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shandele pora bagarane shandela rabadande ho de gashela la baranine ho na shandele ho be obedient if the Lord is saying something to you, to one of the leaders or whatever. Be obedient. This is a time when we impart the spiritual gifts by being the gift ourselves. The Lord has established and will establish and continue to establish his priesthood. He is teaching you about the garments. He is saying, now be clothed upon with Christ. You are, in fact, being clothed upon with Christ. This is an awesome time, precious one. Just be obedient. Don't... Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the presence of Jesus is so awesome. It is so beautiful. Oh, my children, come unto me, all ye who are thirst and are heavy laden, and lo, I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, my children, lay your burdens upon me. Cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. Come unto me that I may take your burdens, that I may carry them away, that I might carry them away as a scapegoat carried them away into the wilderness. Come unto me, my children. Come, that I might carry away your burdens, that you might stand free and pure and holy in my sight, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I believe that there are people here that need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I believe that there are people here that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In order to be a priest of the Most High God, I think you need that weapon in your arsenal. If there's anyone here that wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues, will you come forward now? Just come forward now. Some of you that probably have a stammering tongue, come on forward also. Okay? Just line up this way, please. Come on forward. That's it. Keep coming forward. The rest of you, you may be seated. Now, come on this side, brother and sister. The first thing that is needed, according to the word of God, ask and thou shalt receive. Knock and the door will be open. If a man being evil knows how to give good things to his children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? So the first thing is requirement is to ask. Just say, Heavenly Father, I want to be baptized. I want Jesus to baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the manifestation of speaking in tongues. I desire it this afternoon. Now. Okay? Now you've asked. What do you suppose happened? You've received. It's as simple as all that. You've received. Amen? You've asked, you've received. You have to believe. Here's a step of faith. You have to believe that because you've asked, you've received. Okay? Now, you have to be the one to speak in this language. Because you have to believe that the Holy Spirit is prompting whatever thoughts and syllables that come to your mind. You have to believe that because you've already asked. Even if you think you're making it up out of your own mind, you have to believe that you asked and you'll receive. And you come to God as little children. God doesn't have grandchildren. You know that? He only has children. Remember when you had little children and you saw little children? Before they learned how to speak, sometimes they lifted up their little hands and they made a lot of funny noises. They wanted to be picked up. You recall that? You have to be little children and come to God in that fashion. Amen? Remember, even if you think you're making these syllables, these sounds out of your own mind, you have to believe the Holy Spirit is prompting these very thoughts because you've asked. Okay? Now, Brother George and myself and my wife here, we're going to touch you on the forehead. I want you to close your eyes. And when we touch you on the forehead, I want you to open your mouth and start speaking like a little child. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Be speaking in tongues out there. Come on, people. Let the sounds arise. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's it, sister. You got it. You received it. Receive in the name of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Full and complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord now is upon you. He's filling you. Receive, receive. That's right, brother. The royal tongue sings. Sing your tongue, sing your praise. Jabaranda, the royal tongue. Yes, that's right. The royal tongue. Hallelujah. Raya Jalabanda. Alalalalaya. Korama Jarandala. Full and complete. Full and complete. Release this vessel, Lord. Jabarande. Randalarande, Randalande, complete total Jagabaraba Chande Tandalarande. That's right, that's right, that's right. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC.com/online.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.